beacon of light in an age full of darkness. And during his imamah, not only was Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam afflicted with the oppression and the treachery of the Abbasid kings of his time, in fact, all Muslims were afflicted by these tyrannical rulers. The Abbasid caliphs played with the principles of religion to the point that not even a shadow of Islam remained during their reigns. And so we find that in this kind of a situation, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam stood up against the Abbasid caliphs and revealed the truth for one and for all.
Parts of Ziyara text of Jamaatul Kabira issued by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام على أئمة الهدى ومصابيح التجا وأعلام التقى وذوي النهى.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala al-a'immat ad-du'at.
Peace be upon the imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, his select, his party, the case of his knowledge, his argument, his path, his light, his proof. Allah's mercy and blessings to be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he lived in an era where corruption and moral and ethical decadence were quite prevalent. And so in this kind of a morally decadent society, of course, in some part, which was primarily due to the decadent and corrupt lifestyles of the Abbasid caliphs, who then promoted this kind of lifestyle among the elite and the wealthy and the upper class. Most probably we'll find that the middle class and the lower class, they were more in tune to religion and to be more pious. But still, when poison starts to spread within a society, it is very difficult to protect oneself from that poison. And so the people became very much oriented towards worldliness and towards materialism and money and wealth and property and these kind of things. So here we find one of the companions, he had asked Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, you know, what is the use of the afterlife? What benefit does it give us? And so Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, again, this is interesting, instead of replying in his own words, he replies in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And what's interesting about this is that His Eminence Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam is promoting and encouraging people to turn towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. And while he is talking about this ma'arif and knowledge of Islam, he is also strengthening and putting forth the true status of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But he says that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, one who busies themselves with thinking about the afterlife will be rich even though they don't have money. They will feel at ease even though they don't have a family. And they will feel mighty even though they have no companions. And here what is really beautiful is this is an aspect about thinking about the afterlife or keeping the afterlife in mind that we rarely really think about this benefit. You know, usually we have other kind of benefits that we think about and we talk about. But here, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, these are some of the benefits of thinking of the afterlife, right? Not all of the benefits. We find that, for example, if His Eminence were to talk about all the benefits, then, you know, you'd have pages and pages and pages. And what's beautiful about the Imams is they have very short, concise statements that are very, very powerful. And so here he says, one, that you will become rich, even though you don't have money. Why will you be rich? Because you know that the afterlife is the true life, and that is where you will reap what you sow, and that is where you get all of your true rewards. Finally, you will feel at ease even though you don't have a family. Why? Well, this place is temporary. You will die and you will go on, and then inshallah, we will be in paradise with our true family members. And finally, you will feel mighty without any companions. Again, because you know that there is an afterlife, there is a hereafter, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and this world is temporary and it will finish. And thus, these are the benefits of thinking about the afterlife. We too should be thinking about it as well. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
The spokesperson for Yemen's armed forces has officially confirmed that Yemen has entered the war against Israel. In a televised TV address, General Yahya Sari stated that the Yemeni army launched a series of ballistic missiles and drones that targeted numerous locations in Israel.
Our armed forces launched a large batch of ballistic missiles and a large number of drones at various targets of the Israeli enemy. The Yemeni armed forces confirmed that this operation is the third operation in support of our oppressed brothers in Palestine and confirmed that we will continue to carry out more qualitative strikes with missiles and drones until the Israeli aggression stops.
According to the military spokesperson, the United States, along with some Arab states, have allowed Palestinians in Gaza to suffer daily massacres and a strangling blockade. He condemned these Arab states for refusing to mobilize their armies in order to save Palestinians.
The Arab and Islamic world were supposed to mobilize and protect the children and women of Palestine. This is a moral, Islamic, and humanitarian obligation. In response to this, the Yemeni army had no choice but to answer the call of the Yemeni people and all free people. With our faith in Allah, Yemen's armed forces decided to act now in order to support the Palestinians who are experiencing this historic form of oppression.
The declaration of war leaves Yemen to become the first Arab nation to declare war on Israel since the 1967 war. The 6 days of war ended with Israel expanding its occupation over more Palestinian territories. Muslims and Arabs across the region are praising the Yemeni army's missile and drone attacks against Israel. The question now is, will other Arab nations take action to try and bring an end to the genocide in Gaza? Or will they remain silent? Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
Thousands gathered in the Pakistani capital Islamabad for a massive rally in support of Palestine. All Islamic communities, including Shia and Sunni, came together to voice their strong condemnation of Israel's atrocities in Gaza. Pakistan's religio-political party Jamaat-e-Islami hosted Gaza Million March just a few miles away from the U.S. consulate in Islamabad to condemn Washington's role in supporting Israel's crimes.
Israel is brutally attacking the innocent people. Israel is brutally attacking with phosphorus bombs on the hospitals. And every day they kill 500, 600, even 1,000 children and kids and women and civilians. So there is no justification of such a genocide.
Similar rallies were held in other cities where people voiced their anger on what they call the criminal silence of the world on Israeli bombardment in Gaza that has killed thousands of men, women, and children in recent weeks.
Children have nothing to do with war or with hate. This is implantation of hate within children as well, which is a very bad thing for people in the future. I would request all the leaders of the Muslim nations to rise. This is the time. We don't have enough time. We don't have any more time to rise and become united against all this, against the evil Israel.
The protesters demanded that legal proceedings be launched against Israel in the International Court of Justice for its ongoing crimes against humanity.
It's not a war. It's a proper genocide. It's a proper ethnic cleansing. And it is being followed by war crimes, proper war crimes, which is a crime not only according to Islam, but according to Geneva Convention, according to all the rules of the world. And, you know, this is not acceptable.
The protesters also called on the people of Pakistan to boycott pro-Israeli companies and make donations to the people of Palestine.
The continuous presence of Pakistani citizens at pro-Palestine rallies indicates their steadfast commitment to the Palestinian cause and their strong objection to the actions of the U.S. and its NATO allies who are supporting Israel's deadly strikes on Gaza. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Within Iranian parliament's constant diplomatic efforts, a delegation from the National Security Committee of the Iran's parliament met with the Syrian parliament speaker the Ba'ath Party Associate Secretary and Palestinian Resistance Factions.
Our meeting today was held in participation of representatives from Palestinian factions and a delegation from the National Security Committee in Iran's parliament. The latest field developments in the region, specifically in Gaza, were discussed.
The Iranian delegation confirmed that supporting Palestine is a profound strategic choice, and Iran will always support the resistance, emphasizing that Gaza is fighting for the nation and humanity.
We highly value the pivotal role of the Islamic Republic of Iran and affirm that our people, who are being slaughtered in Gaza, aspire to much greater action than what the Arab countries have undertaken, as they have been either incapable to act or complicit with the Zionist entity.
This message today conveys the firm solidarity of the Iranian people and the Islamic Republic of Iran with the Palestinian people's choices in resistance and the repulsion of the brutal aggression that targets schools and hospitals and kills children. Iran is practically rejecting Israeli aggression.
Mr. Hamoud Asabagh, Speaker of the Syrian Parliament, confirmed that Palestine will always be Syria's guiding principle and central cause, while the Palestinian faction leaders expressed gratitude for Iran and Syria for their crucial role in defeating Israel and reiterated their unwavering loyalty for the resistance front.
The legislative Iranian delegation meets with the Palestinian resistance in Damascus, sending a message to the world that the besieged people in Gaza are not alone, and they will have all necessary support to withstand and defeat the Israeli aggression. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
For the third Saturday in a row, pro-Palestine demonstrators packing the streets of central London to condemn the UK government's unequivocal support for Israel.
Our government is cheering this on and it's supporting Israel to carry on with the massacre in Gaza. So we want to try and stop that.
I'm so ashamed of our government that they are sanctioning what I think is just collective murder. And it really, really has got to stop. It's awful.
They should be listening to the protesters and demanding that there's an immediate and complete ceasefire, that humanitarian aid is allowed through.
From Madrid to Milan and beyond, even in Germany, home to one of the largest Muslim communities in the EU, where such protests have been restricted over what was described as anti-Semitism concerns.
Despite government attempts to delegitimize it, support for Palestinians is on the rise, with hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets of central London today to raise awareness of what's happening in Gaza and to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
Public pressure seems to be working. London's Labour mayor has become the latest politician to call for a ceasefire, breaking ranks with his party's leader, Keir Starmer, who said Israel reserved the right to cut all supplies to Gaza. 250 high-ranking lawyers have written an open letter to the government urging it to stop arming Israel.
And they are paying the taxes to kill our brothers, so it's unfair. It's completely unfair.
It should stop. We want ceasefire. We want talking, negotiating, but giving Palestine what it deserves, having been bullied for 50, 60, 70 years.
As the war on Gaza rages on, there is no sign of the emotions letting up or the demands that so many here are making for their leaders to find a political solution to the crisis. Saeed Pourreza, London.
On Saturday, people from across Italy flooded into the streets of central Rome to stage a new rally against Israel's ongoing carnage in the Gaza Strip. More than 20 pro-Palestine demonstrations have been staged in several Italian cities and towns since the start of the conflict on October 7. At Saturday's rally, attended by more than 20,000 people, demonstrators were saying that what Israel has been doing for decades to the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank is shameful and outrageous.
It's a war crime. Israel is killing innocent people. It has occupied a land belonging to Palestine.
President Netanyahu.
Unfortunately, Netanyahu is not alone. That's why they are not stopping the war.
How many more civilians and children have to be slaughtered?
This is a genocide, and it must be said. They have to stop now.
So far, the Italian government, supported by practically all the mainstream media, has lined up with no care for the onslaught of thousands of civilians and children by Israel.
The double standard on Israel and Palestine is appalling. American imperialism and Zionism deeply influenced the media's approach on the conflict.
The crowd of people at the rally held a march towards St. John's Square, waving hundreds of Palestinian flags and chanting out loud, "Free Palestine."
The United Nations has urged Israel to put an end to its collective punishment of the entire population of the Gaza Strip. A communication blackout caused by Israel's heavy bombing has resulted in the Gaza Strip being unreachable. This makes it even more difficult to obtain information and evidence about international law violations and war crimes being committed against Palestinian civilians.
It is important that the United Nations have condemned Israel's crimes. We are saying that Western countries, including the Italian government, are not credible anymore. They are complicit in the crimes perpetrated by the fascist Netanyahu government.
Many at the rally expressed deep concern over the fate of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians as the Israeli air and ground forces are stepping up operations in the Gaza Strip. Some said that, given the circumstances, the involvement of other countries seems inevitable. Max Civili, Rome.
Hundreds of people have rallied near the Israeli embassy in downtown Seoul, demanding the Israeli military stop its attacks on Gaza residents and calling for a truce. After shedding more light on the ongoing deadly violence, including war crimes committed by Israel, a Palestinian student expressed her gratitude for the global popular support for Palestine.
Today, we affirm your solidarity with Palestine is solidarity with the truth, with the right people and the owners of the land, with those whom the world has forgotten for many years.
Speakers also warned of the pro-Israeli narrative dominating Western media. Meanwhile, many South Koreans are getting a grasp of the basic truths.
The fundamental problem of this violence lies in Israel's excessive blockade and repressive policy towards Gaza.
Concern among people from around the world has grown as communication with the Gaza Strip has been cut off and calls for a truce ignored by Israel and the U.S.
We need a ceasefire right now. Too many innocent people have died and it is continuing and no one is putting a stop to it. There's no one listening to us. No one is helping us. And I am for the people of Palestine. This is no longer a conflict. It is a genocide.
South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol has called for a political solution and carefully sidestepped offering Israel the unconditional support it's received from Washington.
Although South Korea is an ally of the United States, what's striking is these regular demonstrations of support for Palestine. And while many of those rallying here today are students and business people from the Middle East, a broad range of participants are also Koreans who are increasingly questioning Israel's current actions, as well as Israel's overall policies toward the Palestinians. Frank Smith, Seoul.
On Saturday, more than 1 million people gathered in Atatürk Airport in Istanbul in support of Palestinians in the besieged Gaza. The rally was attended by Turkish President as well as a number of ministers and parliament members. Erdogan said the Western countries that shed crocodile tears over the death of civilians in Ukraine are not only turning a blind eye to the death of Palestinian civilians in Gaza, but also supporting it. He added that Turkey is against this double standard and hypocritical behavior. Turkish president also went on to say that the West has mobilized its politicians and media to legitimize the massacre of the innocent people of Gaza.
The main culprit behind the massacre unfolding in Gaza is the West. The massacre in Gaza is entirely the work of the West. Israel will not last even 3 days without the support of Western countries. They fully support the child killers in Gaza. Israel is now behaving like a war criminal.
Erdogan also warned that his country is preparing to reveal to the world that Israel is a war criminal.
We came here with our kids to stand with the people of Palestine, to voice our rejection to the killing of children. This is not a war. This is a genocide. Everyone knows and sees this, but they are unfortunately silent. I did not want to be silent. That's why I came here.
The rally-goers chanted slogans condemning Israeli atrocities in the Gaza Strip, calling it the genocide of the century. They called on their government to take concrete actions to end the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians.
At the council today, of course, I canceled it. And I came here to voice my rejection to the Israel massacre against civilians and to support Palestinian people who have been witnessing a real massacre for the past 22 days. I hope that the voice of the 1 million who attended to this rally would reach the 3 billion Muslims all over the world, and we can push it to stop aggression.
The rally was attended by political party leaders, politicians, and artists. Protesters from different nationalities also attended to show their support for Gaza. They voiced their anger at the Israeli war on a blockaded strip that has no electricity, water, and even internet.
I am from Gaza and my whole family is there. I have lost contact with them since yesterday. For the past 22 days, Gaza has been under attack and civilians and children are dying. The international community is silent and all we need now is a ceasefire as even hospitals are being bombed and the situation is very bad in the strip.
Following Erdogan's speech, Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen ordered Israeli diplomats in Turkey to return to Israel and called for a reassessment of ties with Turkey due to what he called harsh criticism by leaders in Turkey against the military offensive on Gaza.
Just like other cities around the world, people in Istanbul are calling for an end to the Israeli aggression on Gaza. People here want their government and the international community to help stop the Israeli genocide of Palestinians. Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Paris has resumed banning pro-Palestinian demonstrations, this time in what many committed activists said was a trap laid especially for them. Just 90 minutes before the start of a highly anticipated anti-Israel march across the city, local authorities withdrew the permit. That gave police the power to abuse, fine, and arrest those who attended, and also to unfairly portray peaceful protesters as lawbreakers. Similar tactics were used to scare the average citizen from joining the Yellow Vest movement, and it makes the lack of huge protests in Europe's largest Muslim country more understandable. Marchers accused Israel of almost too many atrocities in Gaza to list. Official war crimes, the most brutal siege in modern times, on top of an already illegal 17-year blockade. The indiscriminate bombing of civilians, propagating false and easily disproven claims regarding the actions of Hamas, the murder of thousands of children, attacks on schools, hospitals, and mosques, decades of apartheid, a merciless imperialist project reminiscent of a thankfully bygone era of human history, and on and on.
A genocide.
It's a genocide. We must call a cat, as we say in France. But wow, what a poor cat. Across France, people are morally devastated by what they are seeing being done to Palestine. How can these things be happening in 2023?
Many voiced contempt for already deeply unpopular President Emmanuel Macron, who has given almost unconditional support for Tel Aviv.
We don't understand the position of our president at all. How can he unconditionally support the crimes of Israel and not support Palestinian civilians? How can he support Israel when they are not respecting the most basic human rights? And then to ban our public support for Palestine shows how he's gone from very bad to intolerable.
Macron has joined Washington in openly expressing fear that if Israeli atrocities do not stop, the entire region could rally to the Palestinian cause. with three African countries expelling French troops and ambassadors this summer, anti-Western sentiment could spread very far. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
In response to a call by the Palestinian revolutionary factions, thousands of Syrians and Palestinians gathered in Jaramana refugee camp in Damascus to show their support for Gaza and the resistance front.
Today we reaffirm our right to return, determine our fate and establish our Palestinian state and our land with its capital in Al-Quds. We came today as civilians, but we confirm to the Zionist enemy that we can become fighters at any time.
Today we are sending a message to the entire world to see what is happening to our people in Palestine and the injustices they face, particularly women and children.
Protesters expressed their unwavering support for Gaza, pledging to lay down their lives in defense of Palestine and affirming that martyrdom is the only way to reclaim the right of liberating their land.
Today, amidst the challenging circumstances faced by Gaza, we observe a significant bias in Western media, which conceals the truth and events unfolding in Gaza, from Syria, a resilient nation, and from the Jarmana camp in the heart of the capital Damascus. These people declare, "We as Palestinians and Syrians are brothers in blood and arms."
The crowds condemned the complicity of Western media in the heinous crimes committed by Israel against Palestinians and expressed their trust in the resistance media to reveal the truth.
While the Western media outlets turn a blind eye to over 2 million Palestinians trapped under daily Israeli bombing in Gaza, the Syrian people tell the world, "We believe in resistance and we will support Palestine until victory." Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In its Fall 2023 Global Economic Prospects Report, the Washington-based economic think tank projected that, on a year-over-year basis, UK real GDP growth would decline 0.3% in 2023 and 0.2% in 2024. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to The Guardian, citing a study by the Washington-based Peterson Institute for International Economics, PIIE, the British economy will shrink in both 2023 and 2024. According to the report, persistent inflation, falling real incomes of low-income households, and a shortage of workers will result in a 0.3% drop in the country's gross domestic product GDP this year, and a further 0.2% backslide next year. PIIE President Adam Posen told The Guardian, "The UK won't be in recession all of next year, but the recovery will be held back by higher-than-expected inflation, and in response, the Bank of England will need to keep interest rates higher for longer." Posen, who used to work on the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee, noted that the UK economy is also still weighed down by the after-effects of Brexit and will likely suffer from planned cuts to government spending next year. recently the central bank refrained from hiking interest rates for the first time in nearly 2 years after a surprise drop in inflation in August to 6.7% amid weaker growth in food prices and a reduction in accommodation and air travel costs. However, UK inflation remains the highest among G7 economies. Posen warned that more rate hikes are possible in the coming month if inflation doesn't slow further. Karen Dinan, a co-author of the report, mirrored the Institute's warning and said it does not apply to the UK alone. She stated, "While inflation appears to be receding in most countries, it remains decidedly above central bank targets. As a result, most central banks will need to keep their policy rates high over the coming year, with the resulting tight financial conditions holding back demand and slowing economic activity." According to CNBC, UK gross domestic product fell by 0.5% in July, below the 0.2% contraction forecast in a Reuters poll of economists. Services output was the main drag, the Office for National Statistics said, declining 0.5%. The economy put in a better-than-expected performance for the second quarter as a whole, with the ONS reiterating its reading of 0.2% growth. July surprise dip meant the economy shrank at its fastest pace since December, according to the ONS figures. It is the latest sign of economic strain in the higher interest rate environment. Recently, figures showed UK mortgages in arrears jumped to a 7-year high in the 3 months to June. Major investment bank trimmed their UK growth expectations following the reading. Goldman Sachs revised its annual growth forecast to 0.3% from 0.5%, while JP Morgan downgraded its 2023 forecast to 0.4% from 0.6% and its 2024 forecast to 0.2% from 0.4%. James Smith, developed markets economist at ING, said in a note that, "Cutting through the noise, the economy seems to be still growing, albeit fractionally. We think the economy is likely to more or less flatline over coming quarters amid a recession that can't be ruled out." Paul Dales, chief UK economist at Capital Economics, said the GDP figures may indicate a recession has already begun, and underlying growth has lost momentum since earlier in the year. Dales highlighted strikes and unusually wet weather as weighing on certain sectors, but said output declined more broadly, suggesting widespread weakness. Dales said, "Even so, with wage growth still uncomfortably strong, we suspect the Bank of England will still raise interest rates one final time next week, from 5.25% to 5.50%. A potential concern for the central bank came recently when data showed annual growth in pay, including bonuses, which remained steady at 7.8%, the highest on record. This was combined with a sign of a slight cooling in the labor market, as unemployment rose 0.5 percentage points. The British pound was 0.2% lower against the US dollar at $1.245 at 8:40 a.m. as it declined against euro. Jane Foley, head of FX strategy at Rabobank, said the BOE faced a difficult predicament given strong earnings data and a slower UK growth. She said via email, while the market is assuming that a September rate hike is a done deal, the uncertainty for following meetings is rising. Clearly, too much tightening would risk a UK recession, and this possibility appears a little stronger after today's monthly GDP report. Adding, weaker growth data thus increases the chances that bank rate will reach its peak this month, an outlook which is weighing on the pound recently.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi,
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudi was...
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see...
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an analysis on the thoughts and scholarly and religious life of the most outstanding companions of Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imams. And in the new series, we want to talk about the prominent women of Islam, especially the Shiite ones. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another outstanding lady of Islam, Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra, salamullah alayha. She's known as Ummul Mu'mineen, the wife of Prophet Muhammad, the mother of Lady Fatima al-Zahra. She is the first woman who embraced Islam and believed in the prophethood and nabuwa of Prophet Muhammad, the wife of Prophet Muhammad. Shaykh Rouhani, give us some details about the early life and lineage of Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Lady Khadija, salamullahi alayha, it is said that she was born 15 years before Aam al-Fil. So in Mecca. Of course, she lived also in Mecca. She belonged to the tribe, the Qabila of Quraysh, Quraysh clan. And then she was daughter of Khuwaylid. Her father's name was Khuwaylid. And the title given to her is Ummul Mu'mineen. And she was buried in the cemetery called Mu'allat. Of course, about the, let's say, characteristics of this lady, you should mention that she was the first lady who embraced Islam, who accepted Islam, and she was the lady who supported Islam and the Holy Prophet in the early days of Islam, in which no one supported the Holy Prophet. In those days that the Prophet was in need of support and help, and it was the wealth of Khadija salamullahi alayha that really supported Islam and helped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and actually supported the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the daughter of this lady is Fatima salamullahi alayha. And of course, some other children are also related to this lady, like Qasim and Abdullah, Zainab, Raqayya, Umm Kulthum. Of course, there are different views in this regard that whether they were the real daughters of Lady Khadija salamullah alayha, or just she was taking care of them. So, but about the Lady Fatima salamullah alayha, it is for sure that she was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Lady Khadija salamullah alayha.
That's all right. Okay, what is famous about Lady Khadija, Shaykh Fadai, is that she was among the famous women of Arabs on that time. She was the head of a caravan. She was a tradeswoman, one of the famous tradeswomen. Such a dignity, such a high position and a status among the ladies on that time. She was rich. She was, we can say, chaste. She was rich. And all these, we can say, with all these positions, she got married to Prophet Muhammad, who was not a prophet on that time. You know, is it true?
Yes.
So talk a little bit about this aspect of the life of Lady Khadija al-Kubra.
You know, this is very important that we can show that as a pattern for our youth, how to get married, whom to get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a lady is so rich with a lot of properties and wealth, she chooses a person, a young man, as her husband. And as you know, it is recorded that Lady Khadija chose Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the husband. So why? Not because of the wealth of that man, because our Prophet, before his prophethood, at that time when he was young, he was not rich. Prophet was poor.
Yes.
You know, Quraysh was a famous clan. Yes, of course. This is the social position, not economic one.
Mm-hmm.
Prophet Muhammad, before the prophethood, at that time when he got married, he was not rich. He and, you know, the reason that they were familiar together, they knew each other, is that in one of the transactions, Lady Khadija gave the control of that caravan to Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. Of course, when I call Prophet, it doesn't mean that at that time he was
a
prophet.
Muhammad al-Amin, he was called,
Muhammad.
Yes.
She gave the control of caravan to Muhammad al-Amin. And after that journey, she realized that the trade was so successful,
mm-hmm.
and he is Amin, as all people call him.
Trustworthy.
He's someone who is trusted by people.
Yes.
And she was in love of this personality,
mm-hmm.
not the wealth.
Yes.
So Prophet Muhammad at that time was a worker.
Yes.
So a wealthy woman,
yes,
with a worker,
yes,
her worker,
yes,
not because of I don't know, because of the face, because of the property, no, just because, yes, of his belief, because of his behavior.
Yes, right,
this, yeah, is a pattern. And this is not just the only point that we can talk about Lady Khadija. And after that, in the time of prophethood, after Bisa, she showed the courage to accept Islam. It was so dangerous at that time, especially because Lady Khadija was famous and a wealthy person among the clans. It was so dangerous for her to accept Islam.
Yes.
So she was in the danger of killing, but she, yes, showed her courage, and not just accepting Islam. After that, she spent all her wealth in the way of religion.
Yes.
So it's not something easy. We just talk about that. We can imagine about our lives. Do we spend all of our wealth if we are wealthy?
Yes.
Not in the sense that we are not. Imagine that we are wealthy.
Yes.
Can we spend all of our wealth in the way of Islam? Of course not. And after that, she accompanied her husband in all the situations, even in the shape of Ali Abi Talib.
Yes.
It is so hard even,
yes,
to imagine,
yes,
a wealthy woman,
yes,
maybe one of the most
wealthiest women of the time. That's right.
Leaving for some months and some years in,
yes,
a valley that maybe
under sanctions,
10 people, yes, ate one bread.
Yes.
Some of the records that we have from the shape of Abi Talib. So this is not hard. This is not easy. It's so hard. That is the personality of Lady,
that's
Khadija,
right,
which,
okay,
made Sayyidatun Nisa Quraysh or Sayyidatun Nisa al-Alamin.
That's right. That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La
ilaha. Sheikh Rouhani, she was the first woman who believed in prophethood, who believed in Islam and embraced Islam. Is this true? No lady before Lady Khadija embraced Islam?
Yeah, of course, there was no any other woman before Khadija who accepted or embraced Islam. It was only Lady Khadija salamullahi alayha who accepted Islam. It is narrated by some of the narrators that once one of the wives of the Holy Prophet complained mm-hmm. about Lady Khadija, telling the Prophet ﷺ that why are you reminding this much Lady Khadija while she was only an old lady, an old woman for you, mm-hmm. an old wife for you.
Okay.
Then the Prophet got really angry and said that how do you say that there was no wife for me, no woman for me better than Khadija? Because on those hard day and difficult days that no one supported me, Lady Khadija supported me. Mm-hmm. On those days that all people did not spend anything for Islam and for me, Lady Khadija spent all her wealth for the sake of Islam and supported me. So that's why Lady Khadija is the best woman in the world for me. And you should not talk ill of Lady Khadija this way. So it is mentioned in the riwayat. And also it is said that it was the support of Lady Khadija salamullah alayha that Islam was actually remained alive in those difficult days. It is said that once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing the people of Mecca, telling them on the Safa mountain that I am Rasulullah, I was sent by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. And it said that then Abu Jahl actually threw a piece of stone
yes.
towards the Holy Prophet
mm-hmm.
and it broke the forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then of course it is said that after that the Prophet disappeared and then it was Lady Khadija with Imam Ali alayhi wasallam that Lady Khadija was crying
mm-hmm.
and shouting and calling, addressing the people that do you know anything about the Holy Prophet? Where is the Holy Prophet? Who can inform me of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In a way that it is said that Jibreel, the archangel, came to the Prophet and told Ya Rasulullah, please, please go to the Lady Khadija. Because of her crying, now all the angels are crying, accompanying Lady Khadija salamullah alayha, the way that she is crying for you. Please go and find Lady Khadija because she is trying to find you. Look that the according to this riwaya, even Jibreel
yes.
was sent to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, telling him that all the angels are now crying
oh.
with Lady Khadija,
oh.
the way that Lady Khadija is now crying for you. So this is the hope or the love that Lady Khadija had to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those days. That no one supported the Prophet.
Yes.
No one supported the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That's right.
So that is why
This is the famous sentence by Prophet Muhammad that when all the people were negating me, this was
course,
Khadija
yeah.
who
yeah.
did tasdeeq, who was affirming
yes, yes.
me, confirming me, and proving me.
Yes,
and when
course.
All the people were sanctioning me, she helped me with her wealth.
Exactly.
And I had the best children.
Yes.
Namely Fatima to Zahra from her. That's right.
Yeah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that she is the best woman.
Yes.
She is the best woman in the whole
right.
world.
That's all yes. right. The lesson that we can take from the life of Lady Khadija to al-Kubra is sacrifice, you know, sacrificing all what you have, you know, leaving your property and wealth for the sake of Allah. You know, especially when it is at the early ages, you know, of Islam, and the early Islam was really a difficult, difficult task done by a lady. And how much a lady must be mature in terms of intellect, you know, to do so for Prophet Muhammad.
No, we can look at that from other viewpoints. I want to say that Lady Khadija is a real pattern for love. Usually when we think of love,
yes.
we just remember the romantic movies of Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know, some of the fake pattern that
Very
they
good.
Made for us.
Very
but usually we neglect about our real pattern, not just some stories, fake stories about, you know, for example, you spend all of your wealth for your love.
Yes.
You spend your security mm-hmm. for your love. You accompany your love even in the hardest situation of Shaib of Abi Talib. And as my brother told that story of watching for Prophet in the mountains and crying for that, which made the angels to cry. And from other side, in the 10th year of Bi'tha, yes. When she passed away, among with Abu Talib, yes. Prophet called that year Amul Huzn. Means the year of sorrow.
Yes.
So what a deep love they mm-hmm. had for each other. So this is the real pattern of love. Love is not what we see in the romantic movies, going to coffee shops, yes. I don't know, talking together, yes. Lying a lot together, and after they go under a same shelter, they yes. start to fight with each other, and most of their lives will end to divorce. So what kind of love is that?
That's all right.
The real love is what we see in the heart of Khadija and Prophet.
That's all right. In some of the ziyara texts of the infallible imams, you know, the name of Lady Khadijat al-Kubra is named as the mother of the infallible imams, you know, and this shows the right and high status of Lady Khadijat al-Kubra. In most of the documents, the year in which this lady passed away is the 10th after Bi'sa, which is 3 years before the Hijra Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina, and different ages are mentioned, and the cemetery of Ma'alat, or Maqbaratul Ma'alat, which is known also as Abu Talib or Bani Hashim or the Hashemite cemetery, is the place that this lady was buried. This was really an outstanding cemetery with domes and the minarets and, you know, great architecture, which unfortunately was demolished by Wahhabis as so many other Islamic architectures. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding lady, Lady Khadijat al-Kubra. And thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for your presence in the program, The Teacher. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines, day 27 of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. The regime pounds different areas in the besieged territory, including a UN-run school. The UN Health Agency calls for an urgent access for humanitarian aid into Gaza, where the civilian population is in dire need of basic supplies. And in Iran, President Raisi says the U.S. is the root cause of crimes being committed in the Gaza Strip. Hello and welcome, everybody. It's day 27 since Israel launched its war on the Gaza Strip. Israel is now pounding the besieged territory from ground, sea, and air as fighting is